61. Boy, just like that, we're up 3 degrees from that overnight low of 58. It happens in a hurry. It does indeed. And Jason Kanz is on the line with us to get us started here. Best 5 minutes of the day. Been doing this for about a year and a half now. Good morning.
Good morning. 61 doesn't seem so bad if we would stay there.
I know. I mean, in general, yesterday, just such a contrast to last week. We're kind of suffocated with those, over 90-degree days. So it's a little tamer.
Right.
So. I want to call this Women Wednesday today because I want to tackle that subject, at least start a discussion. Maybe it'll spill over to tomorrow or what have you. But I think about our friendship and a lot of agreement. But in 2017, I'd come back from Liberia, and we won't get set up all the background, but there was a stark difference between you and I on this issue of kind of the role of women or women in ministry. And it's a dialogue that certainly continues in the church. But as you've talked about significant changes you've had, people talk about the changes you have from going from death to life, from darkness to light as a believer. But certainly we can change as thinking Christians, and you have. But the thing I want to target in on is what's changed and how did it happen in terms of your thinking about women and their role or place in the church or in leadership?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. I in 2017, and certainly before that, I had very strong opinions about women in the church, that women didn't really belong in leadership, that they were to submit to men, and part of that I think was in the tradition where I was going to church at that time. I think that, but it's not exclusive there. I think there's a strong tendency among certain denominations to demonstrate or talk about that difference between men and women. I felt very strongly about that. And I think probably there were a number of factors over the years. I was reading people who had different opinions on that. One of the things I think that happens to us is that we derive our opinions by reading people who agree with us. And I started reading folks like Scott McKnight, who is, I think, a really good writer. He's humble, he's thoughtful, he's careful. And he was presenting things in a different way than I had heard before. And that was making a lot of sense to me.
Let me just say, and how highly respected Scott McKnight is, and even on the heels of all that went on at Willow with Bill Hybels and the subsequent book that he wrote with his daughter, Laura Barrington, called, which I think you've read, A Church Called Tav.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just so highly, that's a great source, though, I think, to go to amongst.
It is.
Starters.
Yeah, he's absolutely, so I think folks like him, I think the other reality was, there's the academic side of me or that cognitive side, but the reality is also that I was seeing the effect of differential or strong complementarian, is maybe a good way to put it, way of thinking upon the women in my life, and recognizing that it seemed inconsistent with God, my understanding of God and who he is. And so I started diving into passages more deeply and asking that question, which we've brought up here multiple times, is it possible I'm wrong? And, I think that has led me to a place where my understanding of the role of women in ministry is much different than what it was even 4 years ago. I think it's brought me to a better, to a healthier place. I'm curious to see where that continues to develop. I would mention one other thing, Larry Crabb's book, Fully Alive, which is a book he wrote about gender, was maybe one of the first things that opened my eyes to say, maybe I don't understand this quite as thoroughly as I thought I did.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think he talks about in there, I'm old enough now and everything, I don't care what other people think. I think he does make that comment in there. Well, that's good. I guess one of the verses that comes to mind for me, too, and it's a whole back and forth dialogue But just the Galatians 3:28, that in Christ there's no male or female, you know, and I think that, you know, that is a side that the, if you want to call it the egalitarian versus complementarian, what have you. And yes, there's the biblical manhood and womanhood book from Piper and Grudem, but then there is a response to that. So if people want to grapple with this issue and dive in, there certainly are plenty of materials out there. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's true.
All right. Do you remember, just in close, do you remember what it was from Scott McKnight you read that was?
I think it was probably on his blog. I actually emailed him about it because it was, and I had said, you know, this was really formative in helping change my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I'll see if I can dig that up and I'll send it on to you. But, you know, again, he's just really good at saying, here's the biblical evidence that maybe we've gotten this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And... Okay. So, yeah.
Very good. Hey, good job. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Susan is here on the scene, 6:45. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, everybody.
We'll rapidly get to sports and commentary, but I wanted to just share something that happened. I think, you know, I think there was a comic strip or something about there ought to be a law.
Oh, and, yeah, and it was.
And we're going to suggest this. There ought to be a law against putting a half-consumed glass of some kind of any liquid beverage into a refrigerator.
Gotcha.
Because in a packed refrigerator for a family that's got a graduation party on Saturday, you know, and so there's extra this, that, and the other thing. And to just get the eggs out was, you know, things are falling. And then to get it back in it and successfully getting it back in, but then all of a sudden this glass that I hadn't even noticed.
I know.
Because there's another larger glass that's got somebody's either iced coffee or something in there.
Okay, I think every listener here and I would agree that legislation would be passed. I think enforcement's going to be tricky. So, hear, hear.
Wonderful.
The eyes have it.
Yes. All right, there's a lot of problems in the world. There's those hands stretched out. Susan was telling me about her impression of me. Yes, there it is. There's a lot of problems in the world. So, here's another one.
This is a great problem to have.
There's too many cookies.
Yes.
Too many Girl Scout cookies. The Girl Scouts of the USA dealing with a massive surplus of cookies because of the pandemic. Where's the cookie monster?
I feel like it's our patriotic duty to do something about
this. How can we help? Where do I volunteer?
They announced yesterday, oh, by the way, we've got 15 million unsold, not just cookies, boxes of these delicious treats. Most of them still stacked up in warehouses.
That's okay.
A decrease was expected because a majority of the cookies are sold in person. That didn't happen last year.
Of course.
Girl Scouts normally sell about 200 million boxes per year. We're talking about 15 million. The last cookies you brought in, the chocolate chip cookies with M&Ms from your wife. Unbelievable.
Oh, those were bomb.
Incomparable.
I had some of those on the weekend. That's when I can relax a little bit. But the Girl Scouts are a close second.
Yeah. You got to say, the homemade ones from Lindsay.
Lindsay
probably be
wins.
Better.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor Girl Scouts.
Help the Girl Scouts. I don't know. They're just making us aware. Don't they usually sell them in the spring?
Yeah, they do sell them in the spring. So this...
I don't know.
I'm going to research this, and I'm going to get back to you listeners on how we can help this situation.
Good. Thank you.
I love assignments like this.
It's Assignment America.
A patriotic duty to help the Girl Scouts.
We'll see what we can do and let you know.
Z is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C. Oh, C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me.
Susan has an update on the Girl Scout cookie.
I did.
Opposite of shortage.
I got right on that. The Girl Scouts have an unprecedented number of extra cookies. And if you Google Girl Scouts and go to their page, digitalcookiegirlscouts.org is the site where you can support the Girl Scouts with a donation. They are giving away a lot of cookies, or you can donate cookies to their Hometown Heroes program where they will give them to hospital workers and first responders, things like that. Also, looks like they'll be able to do some deals with institutions so that these cookies don't go to waste. But It's digitalcookiegirlscouts.org for all the info.
All right. Thank you, Susan, for the intrepid Googling.
Yes.
It's the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB, and we get used to Wednesdays at 7:45.
Yes.
It's a pet peeve put to music. Well, our very creative co-host here has taken a bit of a break on that. Deservedly so.
You need to get those mm-hmm. creative juices mm-hmm. flowing.
I was actually
again.
Just looking at a song from Mercy Me called Writer's Block. And I was like, yeah, it was kind of that. And Caleb just kind of wanted the summer
yeah,
off. So.
And he gets it. And so we are glad to go back into the archive and unlock some treasure. This one has to do with, isn't it frustrating? It just gets me worked up to even think about it. People who have a dog, and sometimes they're large ones, and they leave their deposit, and then they don't clean it up. You got to clean it up.
You have to.
This was a pet peeve, again, from inside the studio, yes. as Mark was like, this really bugs me. So
mine. Here we go.
All right. Our rerun of Pet Peeve Put to Music this morning on the WIB Wake Up Show.
It more than he can express when doggies leave some doo-doo and you don't clean up their mess. Don't leave those dog logs lying or he'll really vent his spleen. Our parks and public sidewalks are much better when they're clean.
Oh, come on. What left this? A dinosaur?
Don't you dare keep walking when your pup leaves a pile. Just please clean up their business and you'll leave us with a smile. Feces isn't fun, so when it comes to number two, it's better in your bag than on the bottom of my shoe.
Bottom of my shoe.
Our pet peeve put to music reruns here on the Wake Up Show.
In the studio.
Oh, my word. You're a genius.
And that was in January. It's much more essential even now, folks. There's no snow out there to hide it.
So indeed. Essential.
Yes. And with the sun, yep, make sure you clean up mm-hmm. our public service.
It's the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB. Of course, Father's Day weekend. And we've got a Father's Day weekend special tied in with OneFest. Troy is here from OneFest to talk about it. Good morning.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. So you're a big photographer and you love contemporary Christian music, so it just makes sense that you're tied in with OneFest, right?
It kind of does, and that's the story behind it goes way, way back. But, like, right now we're looking for volunteers, and years ago, being into photography, a friend of mine came up who was also helping with OneFest, and he goes, hey, there's a festival coming to Chippewa Falls. You know, would you be interested in helping out? I'm like, sure. So, it goes way back, and it still continues to this day. And
so, your volunteering for OneFest led to you becoming a bigger and bigger part of it. So, yes. Now you're looking for people like you were back in the day.
Yes, we are. Because a lot of people don't realize how much time and effort goes into putting one of these events on. And you really need the volunteers to help make that go, you know, And everybody has a skill that God has kind of blessed them with. And it's mm-hmm. using that skill. I mean, some people help with parking, some with stage setup, others with front gate and ticket sales and making sure that everybody can find their seat, merch sales, photography.
Nice.
You know.
And there are so many different opportunities. And again, at one-fest.com or wwib.com/onefest, we have the link directly to that volunteer site as well. It's pretty cool. For one thing, if you're saying, you know what, maybe I don't have the funds to be able to go. Well, you volunteer and you get a free OneFest full event ticket and a free t-shirt. And I think Heather has some goodies as well, too, for volunteers. So it works out really well.
Yes, it does. Like you said, you know, just earning your ticket in too, you know, so that way if you aren't able to work certain hours, you can go and watch and enjoy the show too.
And so. Being together as a family, I mean, this great Father's Day weekend special at wib.com/OneFest, between Friday through Sunday, you buy one OneFest ticket and you get one half off, a $34 savings.
That's a great deal.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is.
You can't beat that.
It really is incredible, too. I mean, when you think about that, too. And my thought, I was brewing on this a little bit yesterday. I think so. Again, when you're saving that much, for instance, if you had budgeted a certain amount to go to OneFest this year, my encouragement to you would be to spend the same amount on your OneFest tickets using this Father's Day deal and use it to bring someone else, maybe it's a friend of your kids or something like that, someone who maybe isn't used to Christian music, maybe would never darken the door of a church, and again, spend that same amount, use this Father's Day deal, buy an extra ticket or two or three, and bring someone else with you to One Fest, and a great opportunity to share the gospel that way.
Exactly. You know, that's the whole point behind it, is the ministry. You know, there's a lot that gets talked out about the music and the, you know, like the games and buying stuff and food, but the ministry behind everything and getting to know who Jesus is, you know, because, you know, you're going to hear that throughout the stage from like the artists. And
sometimes it's hard to be very upfront about the details of the gospel with a friend, with a dear friend. But if you bring them somewhere where you know that they'll hear the gospel, they'll hear how God has changed people's lives. It's a really non-threatening way to expose them to that story, and then you can be there to answer questions, or just on its own. It's so much fun for people to be around. Oh, so this is what it is to follow God and to love God, and these people are great. And going to One Fest, you're going to get a wonderful experience like that.
Exactly, and have fun doing it too.
Right.
You know, because there's, you know, with these music festivals that go on, there's a variety of different music, you know, so it's not like you get like all rock or all like of a country sound. You get a mix of all that, and it's upbeat, and the message is good.
Troy, you're such a fan of CCM. As we wrap up this interview, is there any of the artists you haven't seen that are going to be at One Fest?
Hannah Kerr.
Okay.
Oh.
Hannah Kerr.
We found one. We've got Danny Gokey and Micah Tyler and Ren Collective and on and on and on. Hannah Kerr's the one you haven't seen yet.
Yeah, Hannah Kerr's the one I haven't seen yet, or Ren Collective.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So there's two.
You mean those Irish lads.
Yeah, otherwise everybody else is on the list already.
They're fantastic. Well, I know for those who did attend One Fest inaugural year, there was an incredible moment. Troy, you were telling us about it off the air, where again, there was this huge storm just blew through, knocked things out. It chased people off the stage and out of the grounds. And Mike Donahue from 10th Avenue North came out, and there was just this incredibly special God moment that happened. We're going to play a song from him, but just a quick 30-second recap of what happened there.
Well, I was saying earlier, Mike was just pointing out how beautiful the full moon was, and within a matter of minutes, a storm came through with like high winds and just rain, and it, like you said, it made everybody scatter. It knocked out the soundboard, and Mike went off stage and was kind of performing on stage and saw a small crowd gather out in the front, so he came out with his guitar and started playing, and what started as four people became 10, which became 20, which became 50, which became about 200. And it was all voices in
all
unity singing together praises to God. And it was just a glorious,
memorable.
Yes.
OneFest.com, one-fest.com, or WWIB.com/OneFest to get that Father's Day deal. Who knows what God's going to do yet, but we can't wait to see what happens this year at OneFest 2021.
Father's Day this weekend. Hey,
plan
to take advantage of that Father's Day weekend special for OneFest tickets. I'm there now, wib.com/OneFest. Again, you buy one ticket, you get one half off a $34 savings. Again, that's Friday through Sunday. But mentioning Father's Day, Career Builder asked readers of its blog for the best career advice that their fathers had given them. So we've got some of that this morning.
Yes, let's hear some of those words of wisdom.
What dads had to say, for instance, if you're on time, you're late.
Ooh, that means you should always be a little ahead
a little
of
early.
Time. Okay. How about always leave work each day having done more than you were paid to do. So go be above and beyond. I love that.
That's good advice.
Fatherly career advice. How about this one? Start your own business. Treat it like it's a baby. And what does that mean? Well, you'd never turn your back on or leave a baby alone, right? So.
Oh, I like that.
Here's a good message about humility. No job is beneath you.
That is true. And fatherhood is one of those jobs. You have to do what it takes, right?
Diaper changing comes to mind.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Okay, how about this on the Wib Wake Up Show with fatherly advice? Show up on time, always give 100%, and only leave when the job is done.
Yes.
That's so good. Don't watch the clock and say, well, I'm out of here.
Career Builder, again, asking professionals, what's the best career advice your dad gave you? How about this one? Never say I don't know. Say, let me get back to you and go look it up. Learn something.
Right.
You know, as you were giving one of those tips, I'm just going to insert one. This isn't from Career Builder, but it's, son, if you're going to be an NFL quarterback or you want to be the first one there and the last one to leave.
There you
so,
go.
Anyhow.
I've always wondered when someone's like, oh, he's the first one there and the last one to leave. Well, what if there's more than one guy on the team? Once we just like, after you.
Sounds like his wife might be mad at him. I don't know.
At what point does that become workaholism?
Anyway.
Oh, funny.
I departed.
Okay, how about this? A great career lies at the crossroad of what you love, what you're good at, and what people are willing to pay you for.
That's good advice.
I like that.
Yeah. I still wonder why people pay us for this.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's like, wow, what good fortune.
I've been a listener for years, and I think it's great. Mm-hmm. We're your friends. I mean, you guys have been my friends for 30 years.
Another good advice that ties into that, though, is find something that you love, and then if they'll pay you to do it, you got a good thing going.
Right.
There you go. A few more here, again, from Career Builder, career advice that people got from their dads. How about this one? As long as you're putting food on the table for your family, hold your head high and be proud. I think that ties back to the, hey, no job's beneath you.
Absolutely. And tying into that is get up, go to work, do your job, and be proud of yourself. I love that.
There you go. So advice from Career Builder on ahead of Father's Day from dads.
So right do now, what I love. I'm open to any candy taster jobs.
Right now on the WWIB Facebook page, we've asked you, haven't got a lot of response yet too, but what's something that your dad always said? What's a favorite saying of your dad? And I just know, I always bring this out every Father's Day, but my dad would say all the time, it's like, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye. It's like, yeah, probably have to agree with that.
My dad would say to my sister Heidi and I, go to bed, girls, I'm tired.
Let us know on the WWIB Radio Facebook page. What's a famous saying of your dad leading into Father's Day?